Hello, my name is JRJ, and I'm a Principal Program Manager on the Azure SQL Data Warehouse service. Today, we're going to be talking about joins and aggregations in this session, a developer's guide to joins and aggregations in Azure SQL Data Warehouse. In this session, we're going to look at two areas: joining distributed tables, both round-robin and hash-distributed, and aggregating distributed tables and what we might need to do to minimize data movement. We'll finish with a demo and some general guidance. The first thing to think about is how we join distributed tables together. In this particular case, we're looking at joining a round-robin table to a hash-distributed table. Our round-robin table is dim product, and our hash distributed table is store sales. Now, as we have seen in the previous video, when you distribute data via the round robin method, you get an even distribution of the data via those batches, but the data has no predictability in terms of how the data is distributed. Therefore, there is no way to guarantee any alignment between the distributions and their data. By contrast, the hash distributed table, the data has been deterministically placed into each distribution. So we have a uniform distribution model, but unfortunately, it is not compatible with the round robin method. Any table using the round robin method will ultimately trigger data movement, which is a latency penalty that you will pay in an MPP system. Therefore, when joining round robin to hash distributed, this would be seen to be a distribution incompatible situation. Let's contrast that. Let's look at joining two hash distributed tables together where the data has been distributed by the same data type in both cases. Notice we're using the product key here in both cases, and the integer is the type that has been assigned to the product key column. Now, all of the data has been distributed completely evenly. So when we join these two tables together, we would not expect any data to move. We can consider this to be a co-located join, in this case signified by the handshake. But what happens if the data in the web sales table had been distributed by the product key using a different data type? In this case, the big int type. Notice that the data is still a uniform distribution and a predictable one, but the distributions that have been selected are different for the values. Now we're back in the same position of requiring data movement in order to be able to resolve the query before the results are returned to the user. This is not an optimal situation, and therefore that's something to be avoided if at all possible. One of the things that you might want to do is to go through your data warehouse and look for incompatibilities like this one before loading up large volumes of data to make sure that you have eliminated these types of data movements from your query workload. Now let's go into the demo and understand how these joins work out in practice. Let's start this demo by looking at first of a compatible join along the lines that we saw in the slides a moment ago. In this case, what we're going to do is look at a product dimension hash joined to a fact online sales table using the shared dimension key product key. To show us how the plan is being executed, we're going to use the explain keyword to get out the MPP plan. So we first of all run the query and look at the XML. Here we can see that the only operation that we have is the return keyword, meaning that there is no additional data movement required in order to be able to run this query. So we have minimized data movement by making sure that our product and our product dimension and our fact dimension are aligned on the joins. We call that co-located. However, let's see how this can be influenced by incompatible join types. So in this case, we're now going to join the dim product table to a same table, but this time we're going to influence the join by making it so that it is not an equi-join, right? We've put this OR statement into the join. Now, if I run this explain, you'll notice there's a significant difference to the type of the plan. And we can see that we have these broadcast moves and associated costs with them. Now, what does this mean? This means that the data has to first move under the hood in order for us to be able to co-locate it prior to the join actually taking place in the return statement. So you can see here that we take that product dimension, populate it into temp ID 55, and then use that here in the return statement rather than using the base table itself. So bear that in mind. The equi-join is essential on the shared distribution key to make sure that we are getting a good join. Similarly, if the data types are incompatible, like for example here, a join between an integer and a big int, we similarly get a similar plan because the types do not match. The data has been distributed in different fashion as we have seen previously. So again, something to avoid. Make sure that your data types are aligned to avoid unnecessary data movement. Thirdly, we know that we have a round robin distribution type and a hash distribution type. Well, what if the hash distribution type is not in play for one of the tables? What's going to happen? Well, we can see from the explain that again, we see a broadcast move, i.e. data movement has to take place in order for the join to be satisfied. Now, this is something that you might also encounter. This is an incompatible join where there is no shared key between the two tables that have been joined. Everything we've done so far has been using dim product. But what if you want to join by another dimension, like dim store? Well, in this case, you will get a data movement to resolve this query because dim store is a round robin table and the distribution key, product key, is not part of the join. So in this case, we are unfortunately having to resolve that move before we can go forward. Now, that's the join side of co-location complete. But what about aggregations? Aggregations can also introduce data movement. Most of these, though, are a lot harder for us to eliminate because it's quite natural for us to want to be able to aggregate data to a level that goes beyond the distribution key. However, you can sometimes be lucky. And in this case, you can see that a compatible aggregation is entirely possible when the distribution key, i.e. product, is inside the query itself. Here you can see we have the return operation and no other data movement operations. But the most more normal scenario is an aggregation where we have either no group by or we have a group by that does not include the distribution key. If we look at the no group by scenario, we get a new type of data movement called the partition move. We will talk about that in another video another time. However, when there is a distribution key, when there is a group by key available but that does not include the distribution key, we're much more likely to see what we call the shuffle move, and you can see that here below. Both of those are data movement operations, and both of those mean that we have had to first move the data prior to issuing the return to give you the answer to the query. Notice, though, that all of that was completely transparent to you as a user. That concludes this demo. Let's go back and wrap up the session. Let's conclude this video with some general guidance on choosing hash distributed columns to optimize your joins and aggregations. The first thing to remember when picking a hash distributed column is that you really want to focus in on columns that are used by joins and group bys in your queries. Because if it's in the join and the group by and these are shared values, then you are likely to eliminate unnecessary data movement, and that's only going to be good news for performance. You also want to avoid columns that are used in the where clause. We didn't go into this in detail, but think of it like this. If a query is using the distribution key in the where clause, it's going to limit the number of distributions that are likely to be involved in the query. That's going to hinder the performance and the overall scale of your query. Now, when we looked at join compatibility, we noticed that there were some rules and requirements to make sure that the query stayed join compatible. The first was that you used a shared distribution key. That means that the distribution key in table A and table B must be the same. This includes the data type of both distribution keys. Lastly, you also need to make sure that the join itself is an equi-join, i.e. A equals B. Finally, we looked at aggregation compatibility. An aggregation compatible query is one where the distribution key is present in the group by. This is the ideal scenario because that means there is no additional data movement required to resolve the query completely. However, this is difficult to achieve in all cases because many times people want to aggregate by different columns. That's completely fine. It's just that there will be this additional data movement. When that happens, we call that an incompatible aggregation query. You might see that as an aggregation with a group by clause that doesn't include your distribution key, or if there is no group by at all. That concludes this video. I hope you enjoyed the session and look forward to seeing you again in the future.